appreciate all of our guests tonight being in this place. I'm honored that when we assemble ourselves together, the Most High God assembles Himself with us. Let us never take that for granted. Jesus is in the house. Directing your attention to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. I know you're probably not aware of it, but we've already had a complete healing in this building tonight. That is one of the parts that may sort of trick us. You were standing in a supernatural event and may have been completely unaware. But God has already moved in this building and has done a very great work. You could be the next person He heals. You could be the next person He touches. But you've got to have expectation. You've got to have faith and desire. You've got to be the one that you've got to want it. You've got to want to be the next one touched. You've got to be the one wanting and desiring to be the next one healed, delivered, set free. And you will be. He won't turn His back on you. In John chapter 20, verse 24, when you're there, just say amen. We'll read to verse 29. In John chapter 20 and verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you this evening. Oh, gracious Father, we love you and we come to you right now. We asking for power and demonstration. We asking for mercy and grace. We asking, Lord, that your presence and your spirit would permeate the darkness of our lives. Illuminate our soul and draw us unto you tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we smite every chain, every stronghold, every addiction, every type and every strategy of the enemy that would try to sever us from the power of God tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I loose your glory to go forth and to feel this house. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your will be done in this place tonight. Anoint me to preach it. And Lord, in Jesus' name, prevail in our hearts tonight. Could you praise the Lord? Could you exalt the name of Jesus? Could you lift Him up? You may be seated. Tonight, I hope to make it very clear in our mind's eye as to what a difference a connection with Jesus Christ can make. I'm here tonight to preach just a simple message entitled, the difference a connection can make. The difference a connection can make. Everybody say that with me. A difference, or the difference rather, the difference a connection can make. There is a big difference between being associated with Jesus and truly making a connection with Him. In the Gospels, we can see, you will find three lists of the disciples, and Thomas is listed on all three lists. Thomas is associated with Jesus and the rest of the disciples when his name appears on these lists. When you read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3, you will find Thomas listed there. When you read Mark chapter 3 and verse 18, you will find Thomas listed there. When you read Luke chapter 6 and verse 15, you will find his name again. These three lists only proves that there is an association with Jesus Christ and his disciples. But they do not prove that there is a connection. We need more than just an association. We need more than just an acquaintance. We need a connection with Jesus Christ. Let us look a little further now. The disciples was aware of the plots to kill Jesus. And in order for Jesus to go to where Lazarus lay dead, he would have to get in close proximity to grave danger. But Jesus is always faithful to his responsibility. When Jesus realized that, or when Thomas rather realized that Jesus could not be stopped, he encouraged the others to go die with Jesus. In John chapter 11 and verse 16, we can read it. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. An association with Jesus and his disciples may afford us the ability to say some pretty impressive things. But is an association enough to actually make us willing to endure those things? An association with Jesus might make us think we know him, but would Jesus say in turn that we really do know him? Our name on the church roll might teach us how to talk like a disciple, but it will not be enough to have a real enduring connection in the midst of a trial. The real truth will finally come out in John chapter 14 and verse 4. And whether I go, ye know, is what Jesus said to his people. And the way ye know. In verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, or unto the Father, but by me. Now notice verse 7. If ye had known me. Now imagine Jesus looking at you. Try to imagine the shape of his eyebrows. Try to imagine the stare in his eye. And try to imagine the gravity of the moment. And he looks at Thomas and says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, imagine the rebuke, from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Jesus made it clear. If Thomas had gone beyond having his name on the roll, if Thomas would have went beyond an association, if Thomas would have just went beyond an acquaintance, if he would have grasped the connection, if he would have made a connection with Jesus, then he would have spared himself from this rebuke. Then Jesus lays the law down by saying, from now on, ye know and have seen him. In other words, Thomas, from today forward, you make every day count, making sure you know who I am. Jesus knew that it is imperative that we develop this kind of relationship with him, because it is what it's going to take
to stand the test and the trials and the temptations of this world. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, it is time for us to realize that the Bible is more than just a pretty story. It's more than something you read to your children to get them to go to sleep. But it's time for us to realize that this word, this truth, this prevailing truth of Jesus Christ is dictating the events of our world today. We must realize that it is real. And if we're not acquainted with it, if we're not connected to it, then it's going to pass us by and leave us stranded. We must understand we can't go anywhere unless we're connected to Jesus Christ. We need more than a name on a roll, and we need more than a religious acquaintance. We need a connection with the Most High God. Could somebody bless the name of Jesus tonight? It will take more than just some sort of religious association with Jesus and His people. If we are going to be present when it truly counts, if we are going to be in that number when it truly, truly counts, we're going to need something more than just an acquaintance. In John 11 and 16, then said Thomas, "Let us also go." I'm recapping for a moment. "Let us also go that we may die with him." In John 14, 5 through 7, Jesus gets on to Thomas and lines him up, implying that Thomas really didn't know him, but from now on he better. After this event, Jesus is crucified. It is a horrific scene. But on the third day, Jesus is resurrected. And he begins to show himself to his disciples. I know he was excited. Can you imagine the expectancy in the heart of Jesus Christ? I know he must have been excited to come unto them and give them comfort by showing them that death and by showing them that hell and the grave could not hold him and could not control him. I know Jesus was excited to tell them, "See, I told you so." I know that Jesus was excited to tell them, "This is what I have been trying to give to you." I know that some way, somehow, he was desiring to let them know that all the words I've been telling you and all the examples I've been laying down for you and all the deeds and all the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders, I've been trying to tell you that this can be yours. I've been trying to tell you that it really, really, really works. 39 stripes on the back, a pulled out beard, slaps in the face, and blood flowing everywhere, a cross nailed to it, then thrown in a grave for 3 days. None of these things could conquer the power of God that was prevailing. Oh, could somebody hear what I'm saying? He was trying to tell his disciples that all of these things that I've been telling you, they are more than words, and they're more than pretty stories, and they were more than just something to attract the multitudes to come out and hear me talk. But this is something that will change your life and deliver you from the darkness and the chains of this old world. I'm trying to tell you, disciples, that this is more powerful than the grave. This is more powerful than death. This is more powerful than hell. Oh, could somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? Oh, would you clap your hands? Would you bless the name of Jesus? When he found them, he was so excited to see them and to get them started in their ministry. We can see how it unfolds in John 20 and verse 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Identification marks. They knew it was no imposter. They knew that he was the real deal. They knew that he was the genuine article. here in this particular setting, we can see something unfolding. It may catch us a little bit off guard as we read it. But we need something more than just an acquaintance. We need something more than just our name on the roll. We need something that's going to bring us through every trial and every trouble and every battle of the mind, every stronghold, every tactic and device of hell, every addiction of the body, everything that the world may throw at us. We need a connection that's going to pull us through every one of these situations. In verse 21, John 20 and 21, then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I'll let that marinate a moment. Who will that be so about? When Jesus comes, do you have the kind of relationship? When Jesus comes, do you have the kind of connection? When Jesus comes, do you have that kind of connection that will cause you to be present when Jesus shows up? I don't want to take too much longer, but we've got to understand, and I know I've been preaching about it a lot because it's been a burden on my heart. We have conditioned ourselves for many years to have our name on the roll and to just show up on Sunday and Wednesday. But we need something more than just that kind of discipline. We need a greater discipline than just having our name on the roll. We need a greater discipline than just showing up on Sunday and Wednesday. We need a power and a connection in our life that's going to cause us to be present. Just an association with this was not enough to be present when Jesus came. Verse 20 says that the disciples was glad when they saw the Lord. But verse 24 says that Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Just an association will fail you when it really counts. Just having your name on the roll will leave you stranded when you really, 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 really need to be present. When Thomas was absent with the Lord, he was present somewhere else. When Thomas was absent from the Lord, he was present somewhere else. I want to ask this congregation just a question tonight. When we are absent from the Lord, where are we present? When we are absent in faith, are we present in doubt? When we're absent in joy, are we present in bitterness? Is there anybody here tonight? Is this a little too strong? I'll try to look for a message tonight that says fat meat isn't greasy. Let's see, where was it? I'm going to try to preach here in just a few minutes, but let me lay this foundation. What turn of events took place to cause a man to go from "let us go die with Jesus" to being absent when Jesus came to see him? What turn of events took place in this man's life that would cause him to go from standing up and declaring with his friends, "Let us go die with Jesus," to being absent when Jesus showed up to see him. Just an association, Mount Pisgah, will make us flaky. When it comes to true commitment and staying faithful in trials, if all we have is an association, we will be flaky and shaky. In other words, we will be absent when the Lord expects us to be present. When we are chased by the enemy, put in trials by the enemy, put in circumstances that we don't see any way out, then we might find ourselves with just an acquaintance and no connection to see us through the hour. Right. Now, imagine this. Imagine this picture. An automobile accident at nighttime in a ditch, partially in the woods. It's hung up on the trees. And you can't really see the connection. But over there, maybe 100 feet, there is a recovery vehicle, a wrecker. And there is a connection, but you can't see the cables. But you can see the effect of the connection. Before the connection is made, the car is just sitting there. The vehicle is just hung there. The vehicle has no ability of its own to move from that spot. You cannot see the connection, the cables in the night. But you see the blinking lights of the service vehicle. You see that it is there, it exists. But you have no way of knowing if the connection is made until that vehicle that is founded upon the timbers and the things of the darkness, that vehicle begins to be moved with great power and force and dragged through the pylons and dragged through the ditch and dragged through the dirt and brought back into the road. You know, without a doubt, I didn't see the cables, but I know that there was a connection to that vehicle. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, it's time for us to realize, and I've said it before, but it's time for us to come out of the hocus pocus thing, as my pastor used to say, Brother G.A. Mangan. It's time for us to kind of come out of just letting somebody else pull the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And it's time for us to get to the place where we can pray heaven down ourselves, where we can move in the power of God and pull down strongholds, where we can cast hell out of our own life, where we can tread upon the serpent ourselves. Oh, somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice, it's time to shake yourself in the power of the Holy Ghost. Quit leaving it up to somebody else and learn how to get into that prayer room and learn how to speak in other tongues as God gives the utterance and learn how to travail and be bent under the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody somewhere hear what I'm saying. I'm telling you the truth. But it's time to have a connection. The world may not see that connection. The world may not know how you have that power. But under the troubles and the trials and the situations of your life, they're going to say, "I don't know how you come through it. I don't know how you stand every day. I don't know how you live holy." And you'll say, "There's a connection to another world." Oh, come on, somebody hear what I'm saying. Pretty shoes and a nice hairdo is not going to get it done. Smelling nice so when you go to church isn't going to get it done. Just an occasional punch in the clock on Sunday and Wednesday isn't going to get it done. An association, an acquaintance isn't going to be enough. The only thing that's going to get us through is a connection. When God calls this church out of this world, an acquaintance isn't going to get it. An association isn't going to get it. You can hold up your name on the church roll and it's not going to get it. The only thing that's going to get you out of this world is a connection with the Most High God. You're going to have to be engrafted to the church. Could somebody bless the name of Jesus tonight? watch out now. You got your band-aids? Hear me before you say anything, because you might be confessing to guilt. Have you ever laid out of church because some cheap little excuse? And then you meet somebody at Walmart the next day, or you meet somebody at work the next day, and they say, "Man, you sure missed it last night. We had church." And then you really try to pull that excuse out and really inflate it this time. You thought you had it down pat when you missed church, but that thing up against their excitement doesn't look too good. Jesus showed up. Jesus came to church last night. That happened to Thomas. He laid out of church because he had a few offenses. He laid out of church because his faith wasn't large enough. He laid out of church because he just had an acquaintance. He just had an association. He didn't have a connection strong enough with God to bring him back to church after he had been waylaid so hard. He had watched his Savior be crucified. He had watched his only hope be put in a grave. His faith was put in that tomb with Jesus. His hope was put in that tomb with Jesus. Shortly after a rebuke from Jesus, hardly no time to rebuild a relationship. Now he's in a hole in the ground. Sometimes we read the Bible and we fail to put ourselves in the shoes of the people in the picture. You just try to live that moment out now. Jesus with them eyebrows and that strong stare giving you a rebuke, telling you you don't really know him. Come on now. Do I need to get down here? I'll just kind of do that. Imagine that. Nobody likes to be on the end of that. And especially if Jesus is doing it. Thomas found himself on the end, the receiving end of that rebuke from the Lord. And then the Lord accused him of not knowing him. Now, when somebody accuses you of not knowing the Lord, you can kind of reason and say, well, they don't know what they're talking about. But Thomas couldn't go out and say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because that was Jesus that said it. So Thomas had to just go home, look at that guy in the mirror, and when that fellow in the mirror said he doesn't know what he's talking about, Thomas had to look back at the mirror and say, that fellow does know what he's talking about. Are you with me? That's what kind of shape Thomas was in. And now the next thing unfolds. Jesus is beaten. He is crucified. He's put in a grave. Now, what if you were convinced? What if somehow your faith failed you so greatly that you were left with the feeling that that's how it's got to be for the rest of your days? You probably wouldn't be at church Wednesday night, would you? You wouldn't have no expectation. What are we going to do? I might as well sit at home.
All he had was an acquaintance. All he had was an association. But he did not have the connection that was powerful enough to just get a hold to him in that troubled situation and say, keep coming. Don't stop here. Don't be bogged down here. Don't stay in the ditch. Don't stay in this stronghold. Don't listen to your doubt and unbelief. You just keep coming on. You just keep coming on. You may not realize why you need to go back to church, but just don't stay here. Don't stop here. You need to keep coming. Make another step. Find you an altar. Get a hold to what God had taught you. Renew it. Refresh it. Revive it. Are you with me tonight? It's time for a church to look at their scars, their cuts, their pains, their injuries, their troubles, and their trials, and say, I refuse to stop here. I refuse to be bogged down here. I refuse to get hung up here. I refuse to live out the rest of my days here. I refuse to believe the words that my Jesus doesn't love me. I refuse to believe it's going to be all over because of a few mistakes and a few wrong turns. I've got to make another step. I've got to get a hold of something that's going to keep encouraging me. I've got to make a step here and another step there. Oh, it's dark. You might as well give up. It seems like it's finished. No, it's not over. It may feel like it's finished. It may look like it's finished. But my Jesus has not forsaken me. Before I move on, Jonah was sinking in the water. He was swallowed by a whale. He was brought down to the lowest depths. And his eyes, the Bible says that the vanities of his flesh, it doesn't say it that way, I'm paraphrasing it. He says, those that believe these lying vanities forsake their own mercies. And Jonah, the last acquaintance he had with God, the last conversation was that, God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that was the last relationship that he had, or acquaintance or connection he had with God. And the next thing he finds himself, he's in the belly of a whale, in the bottom of a sea. He is alienated from God. He is in darkness. He could have got the Thomas syndrome. He could have said, well, no use to pray. No use to trust God. He could have said, well, I'm just going to hang it up. But Jonah had something more than his name on the church roll. He had something more than an acquaintance with God. Jonah, he had, even though he rebelled, he really had a connection with God. He really had a faith that would sustain the hour in which he was in. And in that darkness, in that trouble. Now in case you're reasoning yourself, Jonah didn't go to work every day and the guys talk about how they got out of the whale's belly. It was not a common event. You know, he didn't just pull out some kind of Popular Mechanics magazine and go down the list and escape. Yeah. It was something that he had never heard of. It was something he had never seen. There were no survivors coming back telling you, here's five steps. Here's three steps. And so here he is. He's in there. And he is totally sealed up, enclosed in a hopeless situation. And he, instead of becoming like Thomas, he decides that he's going to go ahead and he's going to rebuke the lying vanities. I'm getting to a point here. In other words, yes, Lord, I've messed up. Yes, Lord, I've made a mistake. Yes, Lord, I should have served you and I should have obeyed you. But Lord, the condition that I'm in right now, I refuse to let it be the end of our relationship. I refuse to let it be this way. You see, a connection, when a connection is made, we reach out and we get a hold and we believe that the connection is greater than the present situation. Now I've got to preach this to you.
somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice tonight, we need to wake up and realize that your trouble, your trial, and your situation is no greater than a connection with Jesus Christ will be. Oh, if somebody could reach through the darkness, reach through the trouble and the trial and the anguish. Oh, come on now. And the misery and the darkness. If somebody would just dare to go ahead and stretch your hand beyond the darkness and beyond the hurt and beyond the pain and beyond the trouble and make a connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That connection is greater than drug addiction. That connection is greater than any trouble, any trial, anything that you've ever been through. So Jonah just rears back and he says, my, he says, it's over. The smell in here says it's over. My taste says it's over. It looks like it's over. It smells like it's over. It tastes like it's over. It sounds like it's over. It feels like it's over. Just an acquaintance with Jesus will cause you to give up right there. Just an association with Jesus will cause you to fold your arms and die right there. Just having your name on the roll will put a period at the end of your life right there. But Jonah went beyond that and he says, I'm going to rebuke these lying vanities. I'm going to rebuke them. I'm not going to believe them. Those that believe these lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Tonight I want you to realize that hell's probably told you that it's over. It's no hope. It's no use. But I've come to tell you that hell's a liar and the father of it. We need to understand that a connection with Jesus Christ is greater than cancer, greater than immorality, greater than drug addiction, greater than problems, greater than trials, greater than troubles, greater than darkness, greater than sin. Oh, come on now, a connection with Jesus. Don't die in your sin. Don't be absent when Jesus shows up. And Jonah, after he rebuked all these lying vanities, he whipped out his connection. Somebody just reach in your heart right here. Come on, go through emotion. Pull out your connection. It might have a little dust on it. Come on now. It might be corroded. Some of you men, pull out your WD-40. Squirt a little oil on there. You got to lubricate that connection. We haven't used it in a while. We just been trusting in our name on the roll. We just been trusting in our acquaintance, our association. But tonight, Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, tonight, guests, tonight, visitors, let's pull out that connection. Let's get a hold of that thing that's going to work no matter what's going on. Let's pull out that relationship that's going to work no matter what's going on, no matter what hell's doing, no matter what we're looking at, no matter what we're facing. Come on now. Let's pull out that connection. Let's get a hold of that relationship. Do you have what Jonah had? Yes, my eyes are lying to me. Yes, my ears are lying to me. Yes, my nose, my sense of smell is lying to me. Yes, my ears and my feel is lying. I know in my heart. I know in my heart. I know down deep. I know way down in my soul. He's not dead. He's alive. He hasn't forsaken us. He's coming back. Oh, come on, Mount Pisgah. It doesn't matter where you are right now. You might be offended. You might be sick. You might be lost. You might be addicted to something. But Jesus is greater than anything you can find yourself at. Jonah, he just prayed unto the Lord. Now, a lot of people don't think about it this far, but he had his prayer had to reach beyond His eyesight, his smell, his taste, his ears, his feeling. His prayer had to come from somewhere way beyond the five senses of flesh. Are you with me? If that's what you're living for Jesus with, when you find yourself in a whale's belly, you'll give up. But Jonah wasn't serving God with that shallowness. He really had something down there. And when that trial came, he dug it out. And he said, it's time to use the big guns. And he prayed, and that prayer went beyond all the five senses of unbelief. And went beyond the blubber on the whale. And went beyond the mile of water. And went beyond the firmament in the space. And entered in to the throne room of God. I'm trying to get a point across to somebody. You haven't prayed in a while. You haven't really got acquainted with God. You haven't really got desperate about some things in your life. You've just been kind of letting it go on the cuff here. You've been just sort of seeing if your acquaintance and your association with God would be enough. But it's time to go beyond your name on the roll. And it's time to go beyond your association and your acquaintance with God. And it's time to get a hold to that connection and that relationship that's really going to move you off of the pile and in the rocks. Come on now. Thomas, you really missed the church service last night. Jesus showed up. Thomas had the five senses in control. You know what he did? He showed us his hands. He showed us his side. And boy, did we ever have fun then. Our faith was restored. We got excited about Jesus. Then you know what he did next? He gave us all peace in our heart. That may sound a little cheap to somebody. If it sounds cheap to you, you might need to go back to that place where you can remember being lost. You might need to go back to that place when you felt like you were going to bust hell wide open. Some of us have been so blessed we think peace is cheap. But you meet a man that doesn't have any. And you'll be thankful. He gave us peace, Thomas. Then Jesus breathed on us and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, Thomas. After all these great reports, what had happened to Thomas was just too much for what an acquaintance can do. I'm hurrying to a close right now. Saints of God, what's on the way and coming around the corner is too much for what our acquaintance can do. There's things unfolding in this world that's just too much for what a name on a roll can do. Things that are fixing to hit us square in the face if the Lord doesn't come back, that are too big for just an association with Jesus. There are people in this room that has been hit so hard that if all they would have had was an acquaintance, they would be in oblivion somewhere. Sister Causey and I are included in that. But let me tell you something. You'll never truly know the value of a connection with Jesus Christ when you're standing there looking at something that you know is too big for anything in this world but a connection with Jesus Christ. One of the things that come to mind is our little niece, Nicole. Nobody knew what happened to her. She just went limp. Her complexion went very odd. It looked very strange. The people that she was with, they called her mother and said, this and that and this and that has happened to Nicole. Nicole was probably about 3 years old. They didn't rush her to the hospital. They didn't call the ambulance. So her mother had to go all the way across town into another town, pick up the baby, see what was going on, and then rush her to the hospital, back to where she had just come from, to the same town, put her there in the hospital, in the emergency room. They rush her into the back. They start running all kinds of tests. It was past time to save her. And there she is laying in that bed. And they're running all kinds of tests. And I open that door and I see that baby. And I tell you what, I didn't rely on my name on the roll. I didn't rely on my association or an acquaintance with God's people. But I went straight to my connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I laid hands on that baby and I cast out that whatever it was. I commanded it to leave by the divine authority of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I said, death, you cannot have her. You cannot have her. You cannot have her. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. I command anything, any poison, any death to turn her loose right now in Jesus' name. A few minutes later, they come busting through the door. We know who it is! They look in the bed. She's not in it. She's in the bed next to her, climbing all over her mother, just playing games. And they were looking at her amazed. This child was bit by a rattlesnake. It's not normal for her to be doing that. No, it's not normal when you got a church acquaintance and a church association, but it's normal when you got a connection with the master. Oh, come on now. When Thomas touched him, he said, my Lord and my God. That connection brought Thomas beyond Jesus being a great teacher. That connection brought Thomas beyond Jesus being a good man or somebody I like a whole lot. But that connection brought Thomas to the place where I'm holding on to my Savior, my Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. That's who He is. That's who He is. That's who He is. Do you have that tonight? Does your walk with God, does your connection say, I've got the Master with me. I've got the Creator with me. I've got the Healer with me. I've got the Deliverer with me. I've got the Almighty God in my heart. Oh, would you stand all over this building tonight? Hey! Do you have a relationship that will pull you out of the deepest, darkest holes? Do you have a relationship that will bring you through compromise or go to jail? Don't rely on your acquaintance to do the right thing. Don't rely on your name just being on the roll to do the right thing. It's going to demand a connection with the Master. Your addictions, your problems, your sin demands a connection with the Master. Your spiritual darkness, your feelings of hopelessness demands a connection with the Master. Your misery, your sorrow, your loss demands a connection with the Master. What shall we do, Peter? Repent! Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission, the removal, the dismissal, the taking away of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're in this place tonight without the Holy Ghost, The altars are open. You can come forward. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to deliver you. Jesus wants to put your life back together. If you're a saint that needs God, if you're a saint that just needs to make another connection, I wish everybody under the sound of my voice tonight would just step out of these pews and bring somebody with you and say, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm going to renew my connection. I'm going to check them cables out tonight. I'm going to make sure there's no broken spots in there. I'm going to make sure these things work when I've got to be pulled out. I've got to have a connection. I've got to have a connection. Hey, holo boho ya ta ya. Do you have a connection tonight? Come on, do you have that connection? The little lady with the issue of blood, she kept her issue for 12 years, just looking out over the hill, seeing Jesus teach. Just kind of looking out and seeing acquaintances with everybody. She never got better, she always got worse. But one day she went through the crowd, and one day she pushed through the opposition, and one day she touched him, and virtue flowed. How long are you going to stay out on the horizon looking? How long are you going to stay out there on the other side just watching? How long are you going to live with your sin, and how long are you going to live with your darkness and hopelessness? How long will it be? How long will you stay there? You've been looking, and now you're here. How long will you stay? Come touch Jesus. Touch the hem of that garment and let virtue flow. Let virtue flow. Let virtue flow. Let virtue flow. Don't stay lost. Don't leave without God. Oh, come on, saints. Let's pray. Let's call on God. Let's touch the hem of that garment. Let's make a connection that's gonna hold. Oh, come on.